Thank you for joining us today. This is Clint Byers, lead pastor of Forward Church. I pray this message blesses and encourages you. I hope it inspires transformative grace in your heart and establishes you even deeper in your new covenant identity in Christ. Now take a deep breath, become aware of God's Spirit within you, and enjoy the message. Vision and calling. Because we want to live on mission, right? We want to live with a sense of purpose. And I believe this church has a mission and a purpose. And I am not asking you to come here and serve my vision. We are not asking you to come here and catch our vision. I honestly want you to find your own vision. I want you to figure out between you and the Lord the assignments and the path that He would have you walk down. And then I want this church to be a support for you as you carry that out. And if your vision is in alignment or is something that this church is actively doing, praise God, we need help. Is Kate in here? Kate is praying for kids church workers. We have a girl's graduating high school, and I think another young girl that we hire in the nursery is going off to college. Summertime dips anyway. You know, summer is a bit of a dip, but you watch in the fall, it's going to really ramp back up, and the attendance kicks back up, and we're moving. You know, if the growth continues after summer and back toward the fall like it has been, two services is just going to have to happen. Nobody wants to do it, but it's just where we are. You know, we don't want to stop the growth. So, you know, if kids are your passion, and I appreciate sometimes people just serve because it's like, well, you know, I see that there's a need and I'll jump on the schedule once a month. And I praise God for that. We're not necessarily asking you to do that, but if it's something that's on your heart to do and you can serve, then do it. Talk to Kate. I know we need some people back in the media booth. Karen is learning sound. It's really cool to watch. I'm stalling, right? I'm trying to get my track of thought back. Can you tell? I like, where am I? Anyway, I genuinely, though, I really want you to wake up living full of a sense of purpose on mission that is deep and intimate between you and the Father that no one can take away. And you're not trying to figure out, okay, well, how do I fit into what they're doing? How do I fit into that? Who do I have to be who they need me to be to fulfill their vision? Aren't you sick of that? These guys that set themselves up as like these special anointed ones and have authority over you, that's dangerous. That is just not New Covenant model. There's one authority, and that is Christ, and Christ is in you, and we are submitted to one another. We have different roles and offices, but none of those positions are authoritative over each other. I have zero authority over you. You have zero obligation to submit to me because of some spiritual, mystical idea. Now, if in mutual relationship you recognize and honor me as your pastor, and then you invite me into your life for direction and relationship, and then I see that there may be an opportunity to speak something into your life, it's still not authoritative. It's just this. It's a job description, the body functioning, iron sharpening iron, right? And then we get to be that together. And I want to see the whole body stepping into passionately the things that are on your heart that are birthed between you and the Father. Because then nobody's in between that. You don't have a pope. You don't have somebody that's going to take it away. Then you're not set up for manipulation. You know, man, one of the things, all right, let me just figure out where we are here. I'm just going to put this list up. You know, we want to make disciples, cultivate a thriving church community, minister to our community, have a thriving worship community. Aren't you thankful for amazing worship teams? And we want to equip the church. These are all the blue points at the top. And then we have projects and outreach that we're working on. School of Transformation is for equipping. Most of that's online right now. You can screenshot that. So by the way, if you want to go into more of this series or just kind of see a little bit more structured of an area, you can go to forward.church/build. I think that that's right. Maybe somebody check that for me. Slash build, I think, is right. And it has the pictures. It has the picture of the church. Woohoo! Doesn't that look amazing? If you haven't seen that yet, on the far right is a two-story window, and there's a giant playground in there. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Inside, yeah. You know, like Burger King. There's a cafe that's indoor, outdoor, so this is the this would be the plan. And we probably are going to tweak some things. We already know we need to, you know, expand and add offices and a couple different things. But this is a great model to start with. You're welcome to go to that. Did somebody check that site? It's build.church/build, and all this is on there. You're welcome to go on there. We want to have a pavilion on property. In fact, that might be what we build first, is something like this that has a kitchen in it before we build the building. And so, you know, we're moving toward having a site plan developed where we can build something like this out there, use the property, have a kitchen. It has to have a septic system out there. So we're kind of looking at, do we go ahead and put in a septic system that supports this and then the bigger one when the building, or go ahead and, you know, so all these things are coming together. We're working through all, there is progress happening. Then we bought, if you didn't know, we bought a little bit under 14 acres on the corner of 154 and Willis Road. That's just down the street from East Coweta High School. And it's a beautiful property. We bought it for $800,000, and we owe, I think, $460,000 on it now. So we're biting some pretty big chunks out of that. We are probably moving toward a $5 million to pay off the property, to get enough on hand to build. And you know, unless some of y'all are sitting on some cash that you just hadn't come off the hip on just yet, that's your business. I ain't trying to get in your pocket or make you some kind of empty, mystical promise that, you know, I don't even know how to do that stuff, whatever those guys come up with. But that's the number, and we want to get there as fast as possible. So believe with us. And I honestly feel like that this is where the online community will come in as well, to participate in this. As you know, when we've heard a couple of testimonies, there are people and all over that are watching. There's families that I know of, two families just recently, that have started giving $1,000 a month just toward the building fund. And they're not even here, you know, but they participate and watch online. And I just feel like, and we've brought Chelsea on to kind of help us. And we haven't even announced this yet. I am all over the place, but I will. It's just hard because I can see it in my mind and in my heart, and sometimes to kind of chunk it down where it makes sense to you. So I'm just going to throw it all out there. And that's why the website's there. But to really interact with and provide connection for online people, because there are genuinely people out there, Canada, Australia, Philippines. This is their church. It's just the way that the world is now, right? And so, of course, it would be great if they had the opportunity to go find a local congregation and have community and you know, face-to-face interaction. And we want that, and that is the best thing. And even people that are connected online and email and contact, I'm always encouraging them, you know, get fed here, but try to go find a community of people that are at least nice to each other, that aren't trying to manipulate each other and lord authority over each other and talk smack about you if you're not there, you know. So this idea, though, of making disciples, a thriving church community. I'm not going to take the time to go through each one of these. I will encourage you to go to the website and read through those. And there's more even beyond that, but those are just all of the things that we are actively involved in and things that we feel. And we're not just waiting until we get the build. The building is not a magic bullet to get to finally do what we feel like we're supposed to do. A lot of these things are already in action, and things that we will even launch along the way. But this is just a good summary to kind of help you see everything that I'm seeing. And again, if you see something that really is exciting to you, let me know and let's start talking about it. You know, we might not currently have something going that you're passionate about. But again, I want this church to be a support to the passions that are on your heart. Now, that doesn't mean that you come to me and tell me your ideas that you think that I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to do that to you, so don't do that to me. Just checking. People love to come in and tell us what we should be doing. Anyway. So praise God. Praise God. Let me give you just a couple of ideas. You already have everything you need from God. Why? Because you have Christ. He is everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then He, the Word, became flesh. So everything that is in existence, every atom, every molecule, every bit of energy, every idea, not evil, but every good thing that is within the kingdom, everything that you might feel like you need from God, everything you might feel like that you need to understand, the Logos is the source. Christ is the Logos manifest. He lived as a human, showed us what God is like, showed us the logic of God, showed us how God thinks, showed us the will of God, and was made like us so that we could become like Him, right? So the more you know who you are, the less you will question the things that are on your heart to quote unquote do for Him. Because I'm telling you, the body of Christ is paralyzed, afraid that they're going to do the wrong thing. And you could just start. And as you start, it's like a ship, right? A ship that is parked at the harbor. It's just going nowhere. It's just sitting there. But once it sets sail, even if you are going the exact wrong direction, you can course correct and change, but you're moving. You know, I heard this phrase. I don't even know where it originally came from, but I love it. I love it. You know, God can bless a good decision. He can correct a bad decision, but He can't do anything with indecision because you're just sitting there. And you're sitting there waiting for God to tell you what to do. And He's sitting there saying, well, you've got Christ in you. Why don't you just start loving people in whatever capacity that looks like? And for you, if it's just you work your job and you're faithful and you have character and integrity and you're generous and you are loving to the people around you, just like the first the Thessalonians that experienced persecution and their support from one another, Paul says, your support from one another under persecution declared the gospel far and wide. They weren't necessarily out doing the stuff or the big things for God. It was how they supported one another under persecution that preached. Your life can preach, even if you're not doing what we consider the big things, right? Or some formal structure. But you just start and you take it upon yourself. You're free, but you also have the responsibility because you have Christ in you. Quit waiting. Now, you might be in a step where you are growing and learning and getting the education that you need, but you're moving. And praise God for that. Most people never really take the step to get the education that they need to fulfill the passion that they believe might be the calling on their heart. It's all going to take some kind of education. There's a lot to say about all this, but and I just feel like this. It's like you have a calling, but do you have a vision? Do you personally have, you're looking into, to me, this is all I see a vision to be. A vision, you know, you're not sitting there waiting on God to drop, you know, like a blanket out of the sky and show you animals on it and all this kind of technical stuff. You know, it's like a vision is, oh, that's the impact that I want to have on people's lives. I can see that. And I can see myself doing that. I can see myself in a third world country. I can see myself counseling people. I can see myself, you know, helping people learn how to find jobs. I can see myself doing, you know, this is, what can you see you and God doing together? You know, we feel like we have to be absent from the process and God give us an idea that is completely foreign to where we are now. And it just doesn't really work that way. you'll stay more committed to something that you feel like is from you if you are passionate about it and you feel like there's a green light on it than something that just mystically comes to you, but you feel detached from, but you feel like God wants you to do it. Does that make sense? So in other words, if it's a part of you and it's a natural expression of your creativity and where you are and how you follow God, and I'm not saying that it's easy, but it just flows. It's organic from you. And I'm not even saying necessarily that that is your calling, but I feel like along that path of life, if you commit to that lifestyle, you will look back and you will recognize, oh, I'm actually fulfilling what I feel like the Lord would have led me to do. I think it was Oral Roberts. Or no. T.L. Osborne was in a country, was a farmer, farmers in a farmer family. You guys probably know the story better than I do, some of you, but you know, he had a major, major healing evangelistic ministry and, you know, traveled the world and saw amazing things. And somebody asked him one time, you know, how did you know that you were called? He goes, I don't know if I was called. All I know is I wanted to get out of my small town. I love that. I absolutely love that. And look what that guy did, right? So we want to demystify it a little bit and just help you set sail and go. And you already have everything that you need. You don't lack anything because you have Christ. Now, you might need to fine-tune some things, grow in some areas, deal with some stuff, but you're not unqualified. First Corinthians 12:4, I'm just going to read a little bit of this. There's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I have a series called The Ministry of the Holy Spirit, where I go pretty in detail about the gifts. I'm not going to do that right now, but I just want you to see it's the same Spirit. There's different gifts, but the same Spirit. Are you with me? You have the same Spirit that manifests gifts through different people. I'll just say it quickly. God might call you to be prophetic. He might call you to operate in gifts of miracles. He might call you to operate in the gift of generosity. He might call you to operate in the gift of care. But it's the same Spirit. And that person does not have a gift that you don't have. And that person cannot lay hands on you and give you something that you don't already have because you have Christ. And what else is there to get? Same Spirit. You are anointed. And that anointing abides and does not lift. In fact, if you want to operate in certain gifts, you start moving that direction. How about that? Well, I don't know if I'm called to do that. Well, Christ is in you. He does it. He's pretty good at it. Why don't you just let Him do it through you? It ain't about you. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Three different times He talks about it, the diversity of the body of Christ, but it's the same Lord, same Spirit. It's just so important because people love to put us in boxes and section us off into, well, this is what you're... Let me keep going. Still in 1 Corinthians 12, for as the body is, and this is you, see yourself in this. Let the Lord speak to you in this. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And this is where I kind of touch the idea of, you know, you come into this body, you take any group of people, you put them together, there's always going to be people in there that feel like, oh, well, I don't fit in here. These people have all been, Rachel's been here for 10 years. I'll never have that type of connection. You know, and it's, I'm the person that's kind of out here. They have their thing, but you know, I'm a little bit different and I'm not really sure and I really kind of fit in and I don't know that I, you know. Everybody feels that way. I'm just telling you, everybody feels that way. And I pray that there is never a click. And you know, human nature is you just connect with people that you do life together with and you It's not that you like people more, it's just you have common interests and you share, and sometimes it's just natural and easy for you to get along with certain people, and we got to make space for that without getting our feelings hurt. But you also have to kind of lean into it a little bit, and how can I connect? What are the opportunities to connect? Where, you know, I'm not going to sit here and let the enemy section me off from this relationship that I could have, because we are part of the body. We are one body. And it's microcosm, macrocosm. It's your family, it's your church, it's the whole body of Christ, right? And man, I'm telling you, one of the greatest things that the enemy has pulled off is division in the body. And I don't want to see that here. So what I'm asking you to do as a member of this church, if you consider this your church, is how can you get over whatever it is that's making you feel separate and disconnected? And if you need some help with that, come see me, you know. We'll just talk about it and just see what comes up, and just see where we go. If you've got some things that you need help with or work on, you know, we'll deal with all that stuff together. And it's not so that you feel connected so this church grows. It's that you are not divided from what the Lord is seeking to accomplish through a band of people that are united together.
Yeah, that's it.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. I want to see people who are united, moving together, because we're one body. So, for by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, we're the Greeks. Well, except for you. whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. Like six different times, one, 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 so that you get the point. You have it. So, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Where am I? Will you click next? I'm not sure which one I'm on. If the foot should say, who's a foot? Anybody feel like a foot?
Yeah.
If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, who's a hand? Who feels like a hand? I don't know. I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, this is a different kind of metaphor for the what we hear in our heads, and that is, oh, I don't know, you know, they've all, you know, what is it that you hear? What are the lies that you've heard that makes you feel separate? Honestly, can I put you to the challenge here for just a minute? Anybody want to be transparent and say?
They're more talented than me.
They're more talented than me.
Not good enough.
Not good enough.
Different culture.
I love your culture and accent.
He has an accent.
Too old? Yeah. And then it just goes on from there, right? Don't. All right, you get the point. So that's verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Next, please. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he's pleased. So God is building his body. There is a role for you to play. And as it pleases him, there is a role for you to fulfill within the body. And it's not a special anointing. There are no special anointings. There's one anointing. It's not a place of authority. It's you personally, organically, with God, bearing a very unique fruit. That's the picture that I just had this picture, right? You are a plant in the kingdom of God, and the fruit that you bear is unique. And it tastes and smells different from other people. It might be the same genre as these fruits over here. That was supposed to be funny. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, and neither can the hand say of itself, well, this body doesn't need me. I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members seem to be weaker. And those members of the body which we think are to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. That's interesting. I'm not 100% sure what that looks like, But the things that we think aren't as significant and important, be careful. Be careful to minimize what other people might be doing. In fact, you might have somebody that is very cautious and guarded about not letting the right hand know what the left hand is doing. And their charitable deeds are in secret as to not forfeit their heavenly reward because they're rewarded here. And you have no idea what they're doing, but yet they're here, they're faithful, they're serving, they're walking it out. Let's not minimize. Let's not minimize anyone because we don't see the gold dust on them or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You're hearing God on that. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Members individually. We are the body, but members individually. And that is the model that God has. But your role as that individual member is as important as everybody else. And it's your responsibility to step into that role and fulfill it. And I'm not talking about a list of things to do in this church. I'm talking about what God would birth in your heart. And if that happens to be on one of these lists, then we're good to go. Okay, so we exist to declare the finished work of Jesus Christ. There's probably 50 bullet points on this, but we exist to help you find wholeness and healing through God's love for you. You, apparently. I got two U's in there, or two O's in there. This is huge. This is one of the reasons why we focus on the love of God so much, is because it heals people. Not just because we want it to be a nice environment where we're talking about, oh, God loves us. I do praise God for that. I do praise God for a heavy focus on the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of God and the finished work of Christ and what He's done on our behalf and how we can experience His love for us. But there is no greater healing power than the love of God taking root deep within your heart. And so we will always minister from that perspective. And then you just see that fruit amongst the people, like, right? We dismiss and an hour later, people are standing around talking to each other and getting involved in each other's lives because it's just the fruit of the message. And I love to see that. And in our home groups, we'll talk more about home groups as it kind of unfolds. Believe it or not, we have 5 and they're all full and they're thriving. And if you're interested in a home group, ask us about it and we'll help you get plugged in. We kind of don't broadcast them. Anyway, I'm not going to go into how we do it, but if you're interested in that, let us know. So we want to make disciples by establishing hearts in God's transformative grace. And that's a very specific phrase. God's grace is transformative power. God's grace is a divine influence in your heart that teaches you to live godly. You don't need me up here running my mouth. You have the grace of God on the inside of you that can teach you way better than I can. But He does put us in the body, right? And so the greatest thing that I could do as I prepare these messages and speak, and any prophet that stands up here and gives a word or any encourager or anything, is that they speak something. You know, so in other words, the gifts, the revelatory type gifts, you have participated in this body. You've been sown into. You've been feeding on the messages that tunes you to hear God inwardly for yourself. And then any revelatory gift displayed on this stage echoes what God has said to you inwardly. I'm all for a prophetic culture, but I am not for creating a prophetic culture where everybody's running around trying to give personal words to each other, and everybody's running around trying to get a word, and you're sitting there waiting, hoping that you're going to get a word. That's an immature culture. A mature culture says, I don't, whether I get a word or not, is fine. But if I get a word, it should echo, oh yeah, me and the Lord were just talking about that yesterday. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate the confirmation. That's how it works. Now, there can be words of knowledge. There's nuance to this, you know. There can be words of knowledge, words of wisdom, where something comes to you and you hadn't considered it, or it's something, a warning from the Lord or whatever. But in general, I'm not interested in bringing the prophet in. Oh, man. Make disciples by establishing hearts in God's transformative grace. Build up in your identity in Christ. I've said it, I'm going to keep saying it while I'm preaching. I feel like I'm preaching to your spirit. I'm preaching to your completed person. I'm speaking to that which God has already made new. So that person wakes up and walks out of here remembering, no, that's who I really am. And then I'm going to deal with everything in my life that is not in alignment with that. I'm not coming in here and calling out specific sins and talking about behavior modification and all that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes we might need to drill down into those kinds of specifics. But if you are aware of who you are in your spirit, you become way more sensitive to the sin habits and destructive patterns in your life that you need to deal with, because you start to recognize that's disrupting and distracting me from who I am here. That person that I experienced myself to be while I was in worship, that person that was sitting there with hope and encouraged and seeing myself able to love somebody and actually have hope that they could change, that's who I am. And so then when you step out of here and something comes in and starts to disrupt that and try to mask itself as your actual identity, you recognize it as an imposter or a dead man thought from your past, and you don't allow it. Transformation is not even trying to do something to become something. It's believing who you are in Christ and disallowing the things that contradict that. Because you already are the righteousness of God. You already are all of those things that the enemy would tell you that you're not yet. And when you believe that, nothing can take it away from you. It's how you conquer sin. It's how you conquer fear. It's how you boldly step into the confidence to fulfill your calling, where no fear of any man or fear of failure can take it away, because this is just who I am. It's just who I am, you know. Most of you are not smokers, but if I were to offer you a cigarette, you're not even tempted. It's like, I don't want a cigarette. But somebody that might struggle with cigarettes, and I'm not trying to bash one way or the other, and you're trying, let me just say it this way, if you're trying to quit and somebody lights one up, it's, But for those that don't, it's like, I'm not a smoker. That's not what I do. You know, we can get that way about sin. Yeah. That's just not what I do. That's not who I am. Because you live out who you think that you are. And you can get such a vision of life where it guides you. And it informs. So the direction that you start moving informs if something's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, if this opportunity is the right. It might look like a heavenly delivered package with a golden bow on it and music is springing from the inside of it, but it's just not consistent with where you're going with the Lord. And you easily can look at that and say, Whereas most Christians would look at that and say, well, that looks like an open door to me. I think I'll go that way. Open door theology. Man. Praise God, praise God. Let me just finish on this, because I have been threatening to give you kind of the prophetic journey of the church, and I'll try to make this fast. And it's just God's hand in the church. in God's hand and mine and Sarah's lives personally. And they're kind of one and the same, but they're separate. And, you know, so while I wasn't raised in church, didn't have any grid for church at all. You know, it wasn't even like I was raised where my family had a negative experience with church, and then that's why we didn't go. And I would hear my parents' issues with church. Are you with me? There's a lot of families out there that your parents had an attitude or they got hurt, and so they, you know, you kind of adopted their negative. I just didn't have that. We just weren't church people. It was really just that simple, you know. My parents would take us to, well, my mom would take us to Vacation Bible School. And, you know, it was just party. It was just something that mom would go drop us off at, and we'd go have fun. And never one thing spiritual came home with any sense, I guess, the kind of church. And, you know, which is where I was. It's really kind of silly. Now, put yourself in the teacher's shoes for just a moment. But it was like the day, and I must have been 8, 9, 7, I don't know. But they brought out the clay, right? The Play-Doh or whatever. And, you know, everybody's making their little Play-Doh, little sheep and crosses and spiritual stuff. Well, I made an ashtray for my dad. Because he smoked. And I, you know, thought that would be a good gift. And I think even that Christmas, I asked mom to get him a carton of cigarettes to use my ashtray with, you know. It just was no grid at all for any kind of spirituality or nothing. So I didn't have an attitude toward church or Christ or nothing. We were just clueless, me and, you know, my brother and even a lot of the friends I had. But so that leads me into my dad lived a kind of a wild, pretty wild lifestyle. He's a very functioning businessman, but also party or drug addict. All his buddies were just out there. He had a particular kind of business on the side to do with gambling and just a lot of wildness. And I think back, even now, the things that I think are normal are probably not very normal for some families, right? Like, I'll be with some families and I'll be thinking about my past and some stories, and it's like, I think you get what I'm saying. So, you know, enter in drugs and party scene and psychedelics, and I have this crazy wild experience with the demonic. The devil overplayed his hand. I'd never been saved. I was lost, fully possessed, probably for about 6 months, more so a year really, but the real intense stuff of I believed that I died one night. And then these voices came in, and I lived with these voices, full possession, believing every single thing that they told me, which was, you're going to keep dying, and you're going to go down into Hades. And so I didn't believe in God really before that. I believed in aliens and, you know, would try to connect with them through drugs and stuff and just dumb stuff. I just didn't know any better. And so Christ became real to me in that, and I just walked out my deliverance. I really feel like Jesus just discipled me out of that. And didn't go to anybody to get me to puke in a bucket or nothing like that. It was just Jesus walked with me out of that. And I didn't even really know that he was doing it. But now when I look back, I'm like, oh, he was walking me through this process of discipleship and healing where I walked into freedom from demonic oppression in my life. It wasn't a single moment where I had all this stuff cast out. It just became a reality to me that they no longer had access into my mind and my life. And if I perceived them coming back, it got to a point where if I would perceive them coming back, I would hear God laughing on the inside of me. As if he and I were laughing together. It's like some little kid walks up on the stage and says, I'm going to kick your butt. You know, it's like, oh, that's cute. That's how it was when demonic would try to come back in. It's like, I already see what you are. You are powerless. You had me back then because I didn't know any better. But now, uh-uh. In fact, I walk in a room, they go running. And I don't say that out of arrogance. It's just confidence in the authority of Christ. So fast forward, My mom shag danced. Anybody, any shag dancers? Anybody know what shag dancing is? It's an East Coast type of dance, and it's this, you know, it's kind of like a couples, a shuffle step kind of a dance. You know, it's a lot of fun. You guys know. But anyway, so she met, and I was going to the University of Georgia, which is where Sarah and I met. Go Dogs.
We just met,
moved back to Atlanta, still trying to figure things out. I was, you know, probably 4 years out of my wild experience trying to read the Bible. Didn't make a whole lot of sense, but I knew Jesus, and it's a whole thing. But so mom meets this lady in her group whose brother-in-law is a pastor, and she calls me one day, and it's right before Christmas. She says, "Hey, I've been going to this church, and I think you should come down. I think you'd like this guy. He preaches, and he says things like cool and man." Like, that was her thing. And I'm like, oh, okay. But even that I didn't know, because I still hadn't been going. I was in college. Church wasn't on the radar. And so we go, and it's David Michael, Faith Cornerstone. That man changed my life. That man was, I love that guy. And he's with Jesus now. But that church is still going. Libby and Craig have taken it over, and we're so thankful to still be connected with them. Huh? Yeah, they just got a little building for themselves. So, you know, sitting there is watching him that I knew in my spirit, that's what you're going to do, watching him. I still remember the night that it happened, but I didn't know that it was God calling me. It just felt like, oh, there was just a clarity. It felt like a decision that I was making. Sitting one night, overlooking him, he's over in this direction. If I'm you, he's turned about like this. I can see the side of his face, and I'm watching him, and I just knew that's what you're going to do. And it's like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I wanted to do. I didn't know that I wanted to do that, but when that came into me, it was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And every decision after that was toward the development and training to see that come to pass. And it was 15 years later, right, that we started this church in our home. Is that not right? Yeah, 13, 14. That would have been 96 to 95 to 08. Is that 13 years? Anyway, we just kept taking steps. Never one time did we think, oh, when's it going to happen, Lord? When's our ministry going to happen? We went to Huntsville, got trained over there, went to school for 2 years, and then worked at Impact with Jim Richards Ministry for 4 years, did everything that we possibly could do for training to come back here to start the church. When we came back here, we took like a year off and visited around. I kind of wanted to go see what churches around here were saying about God. And it wasn't very good, let me just tell you. We visited several of them, and it just, again, over and over. I know, like you guys, 20 churches or something like that, Tamara, before y'all landed here. Not quite, but a lot. Yeah, I know that the Matthews, when they were here, I think we were the 24th church. And again,
we're praying where to be.
We almost went to Carrollton, but this is home. So I grew up in Tyrone, graduated from McIntosh High School, and it just felt like, no, go home. You know, go home and touch the people there. So let me just say, there's couple of other things. I don't live by words of prophecy, but it's interesting when words of prophecy do come in. And I do want to share two with you, and I realize we're going long. But I want to get this in. One of them was, there's three. One of them was three different people, two before we ever even started the church, one we started very early on, gave me words that didn't know me that said, you'll have influence in political leaders' lives. And it's like, you know, well, you got Mike and Tracy Crane. And that's pretty significant, because we have these conversations, and sometimes I'm sitting there thinking, wow, Lord, a man of this caliber is asking me my thoughts on certain kinds of things, you know. And the fact that they sit here faithfully and serve, and that guy could go sit in any of these mega churches around here and be platformed and be prominent and be an elder and a leader in those communities, but God's put him here, and there's a connection there. And it's interesting to watch. And I don't think that that is the end of it. I think that there's more there. And so we're just walking with the Lord. And it was a while later I reckon, I remember that word. And then a lady who I do believe is a prophet in the body of Christ, we'd done some ministry with her and we had her in, and so we started in our home, then we moved into the first building, which was in Peachtree City where Point University is now. It was downstairs on the right side of it. And she came to speak there, and she was praying over Sarah and I, and she just said, oh, I see that pretty soon there's a building, I can see her face. She says, it's kind of cut up, and it winds through, and you're going to have favor with the landlord, and you're going to do a lot of media out of that. Media is going to be a big part of what you're doing. And then she stops, and she goes, like she's confused, like she's seeing something unfold, and then she stops and she's confused. She just leans back. She goes, I didn't think you were doing that anymore, Lord. And then she goes, okay. And then she looked at us and she goes, then I hear megachurch. And we're just sitting there going, I don't know if I want a megachurch, but the media stuff sounds pretty good. Well, years later, we end up in this building. And if you didn't, she was describing this building to a T. When we first moved into this building, the room that you're in now is all that we rented. But it was actually, there was a foyer back there, there was a room there, there was a room there that was divided into two, and there were actually three rooms over here, and then there was a wall about halfway in the middle of the room, and there was a hallway that kind of wound around, and there was two bathrooms, and that was it. Well, she saw this building, and then it winds in the halls, and you know, you wouldn't see what she saw back then, but now you see it. And so then this one, and this is where I feel like we are now. Are you with me? Everybody good? This is where we are now. And this was just a few months ago down in Florida at a Karis, at an Army meeting. Army is the Ministers Association connected with Andrew Womack's ministry. And I do know this guy, but he doesn't really know us very well, but he gives this word. And I would encourage you to go read all of Amos 3. It's pretty powerful. But this is where I want to leave it today. Amos 3:13, starting with, and there's a few. So behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of the grapes, him who sows seed. And the mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Now, when he said this to me, it was like, I just saw so many pieces click together. And it's not anything that we can do except believe. And what I see is somebody is plowing a field, but there's more fruit to collect than the seeds that they've sown. There's more that they are taking and feeding people with than the work that they've put into it to reap the harvest that has come in. And I then see the Lord show me that this is the online element is a part of that. We all get to participate in it as well. But this ministry it's interesting, the different pieces that God has for it. And I don't use that as a source of manipulation to try to get into the online people's pockets. I just know. And then we're already seeing it. And before I even said that, all these online people start jumping in. So I just really feel like we're right in the midst of exactly where the Lord wants us to be. Personally, me and Sarah, and some of you have communicated to me the things that are on your heart and the value for this body, but then also the things that you have. And I don't want to try to create something, some grandiose vision, like we're the ones that are going to bring revival and save the South or nothing. It's like, no, we're going to do our part. I hope that church over there does their part. And then I hope that church down there does their part. And then the next one does their part. Maybe not the next one, but then the one after that, I hope they do their part. Are you with me? Because it's all one body. I don't want to have some grandiose vision that like God's going to send a new wave and there's a new thing coming out and we're the hub and we're the center and we're trying to crank up revival. No, I just want us faithfully plow the field that God has planted us in. So I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. And this is a big part of what this ministry does is recaptures, it helps people detox from religion. Capture believers back into relationship with Christ. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit. And you know, we have Sarah and several other people wants this property. We want to have a garden on there, maybe even something that's a feeding kind of a program, where either a community program or a garden. And I don't know, there's aquaponics that you can do. You can have aquapons that feed, you know, with fish, and there's a lot of different things you can do with property. But it's significant. And then it says here, I will plant them in their land. And that is what he is seeking to bring about and is doing. And I don't have any doubt at all. And I don't care how long it takes. It's just, we're faithfully plowing that field. We'll just be over here preaching the gospel. You can have revival. We're going to preach the gospel because the gospel is the power. The gospel brings revival in people's lives, which then brings revival in other people's lives. We're not waiting for some external sweeping thing to descend upon the land that we get to cultivate and manage. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Praise God. I just have a deep sense of purpose, really, for this. You know, don't you just love being part of that community? You know, it's like, I'm telling you, every time we have a picnic, there's more people at it than come to church. And I can see on that property, and like there were, like Ryan was saying, some of y'all were standing out front saying, well, let's just have church outside. Well, on a day that we can, we'll do that. Maybe put a little amphitheater in one of the hills that is easy to sit out or whatever, you know. I just see so many things. And I would invite you to dream of what it looks like for you to have access to those kinds of things too. Yes, sow into it. Yes, be a part of it. Yes, faithfully serve. But you, having a passionate vision and calling between you and the Lord, stepping into that. And then I pray that this place is a support structure for you along the way. I pray that this place feeds you. I pray that this place brings you to a place of wholeness and healing and preservation from your past, that you're delivered from that stuff. And then you live a life where you just stop wondering if that's what you're supposed to be doing, because you are just naturally living out of who you are in Christ. And then it just so happens to be what the Lord would invite you to do. It's just easier than you think that it is. I mean, we're living it. And I'm not saying it's going to look exactly the same way, and I'm not saying everything's going to be easy. But walking with God is easy and light. The burden that He puts on you, following Him, the yoke, He's yoked up with you, He's pulling along. You get the picture, right? Two oxen yoked together, pulling alongside, plowing the field together. That's you and Jesus. And if He's in you, He's pulling both sides. And you rest and you're along for the ride. You just take the steps. But you got to take the steps. Otherwise, you're walking in circles. And Jesus is just walking around you. He's like, you tired of me walking around you in a circle yet? Because we could go over there. You ready yet? You ready? Okay, here we go. We're going back in a circle. Ooh, yeah, let's go. We're going to a circle. And that's what it's like for some of us. Because we get in our own strength, and when we get in our own strength, He's going to pull way more than you can. Man, oh, I love it. I love the idea of a group of people confidently following God, loving one another, and then the world looking at it going, wow, yeah, that's what church should look like. And there's a lot of great churches out there. Let's be one of them. But it takes you stepping into your assignments and your role with the Lord. And I want to help. So be at Equip Wednesday. And if you want to talk deeper, let me know. Reach out to me. We'll set up a time and we'll just talk. See what happens. Amen. Amen. Stand up with me if you would. We do have a meeting after this, a lunch and a meeting. That meeting is for staff, elders and pastors, and then people that are actually leading teams. So if you got the invitation, then you're aware. So I just didn't want any confusion there. So Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together to worship you, to just be encouraged and strengthened by you. I so highly value the people that follow you and bring what it is that you've placed on their heart, and we need each other. We need each other to not withhold you from each other, and we want to be you for each other. And it just strengthens and encourages and is a testimony of your healing love within a body. So I thank you for that opportunity, Father. I speak life and health and provision for every person in this room and listening and watching online. We just want to be carriers of your gospel. Show people how good it is to be members and citizens of your kingdom and part of your family. And I do encourage, I thank you, Father, for the courage for each person to take the step out into the passion that is on their heart, and then just take the next step, and then just take the next step, and stop going around in circles, and just get moving. Amen, amen, amen.